Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Imagine a leper who was not healed showing up at the priest's place for the Levitical sacrifice, still all blotchy, his skin rotting, the flesh falling off, maybe a finger or two, but then declaring to the priest, "I'm healed. I'm here for the sacrifice." Or soldiers under their superior officer, the centurion, if his servant had not been healed that day, but rather gotten sick, more sick, and then died. And the next morning, one of them comes and he smiles pleasantly and he says, "Well, he's looking very good today, sir. I'm sure he'll be up and around in no time. He'll be all right. You'll see." Now, everybody knows that's an example of the moral of the story of the emperor's new clothes. It's a fairy tale of Hans Christian Andersen, but it's not fictional. You may have heard it as a child. It had its origins in the Middle Ages, an old Spanish tale. It is crucial wisdom for our day. Read it to the children today. Here's the short version. Two swindlers arrive at the capital city of a great empire. The emperor there spends lavishly on clothing for himself at the expense of state matters. Well, these two swindlers pose as weavers and as fashionistas. And they offer to supply the emperor with magnificent clothing. And they said, "The only catch is this. It's invisible to people who are stupid or inept." Well, the emperor hires them. He can't resist. And they set up their looms, and they go to work. A succession of officials, and finally, the emperor himself, come to check on their progress, and every time they see that the looms are empty. But they don't say anything because they don't want to be thought to be foolish. Finally, the weavers report the emperor's suit is completed. And they mime dressing him, and he sets off in a procession before the whole city. And the townspeople, a little uncomfortably, but they know it's good for them, go along, not wanting to appear, after all, incompetent or stupid. Until a child blurts out, "He's wearing nothing at all." And the people then realize that they had been all of them snookered. Although the emperor was startled, he did not lose his dignity, and he walked more proudly than ever to complete his procession. This tale actually echoes the experience of the author. As a 5-year-old boy, his mother took him out to see the Danish king, Frederick VI. And I think that she had prepped him for this special, special state occasion. And the boy's response is to cry out in a loud voice, "But he's only a man." And his mother tried to silence him, saying, "Have you gone mad, child? Hold your tongue." Now, all of this, I think, illustrates the epistle, its opener today, "Be not wise in your own conceits." More on that in a moment. The other day, I was speaking with the newly elected state representative for us here in Westchester Township, and her name is Jennifer Gross. She was at my communism talk the other week for the Tea Party. And she seems very interested, knowledgeable, and quite sympathetic, I must say. And of course, it's some consolation to have a sense of at least one government official on your side, having just witnessed on Wednesday the installation of an entire Marxist administration, a textbook communist coup, 80 million votes indeed, conducted by the candidate from his basement. I don't think we can vote ourselves out of this one. Indeed, I pretty much have the impression that two-party politics, for anybody who reads and thinks and observes, much less for a Christian who prays, that these things are in the past. But still, I am immensely grateful for any ad hoc help, any here and now assistance that comes our way. As we always say, if we could just delay a bit the day of the divine retribution to allow us still to be left alone, oh, spare us over for another day. Well, Representative Gross was telling me about the situation in a local school in which the child of a prominent parent who is a Biden Catholic, we could inaugurate that term now, I think, has decided in its wisdom to switch sexes. And then, don't you know, then that entails all the bathrooms being switched to and the rest of it. Thinking makes it so, I guess. Where did it come from? The idea that you could create your own personalized reality, like an imaginary set of clothes, and everybody would have to ooh and ah over it, this fairy tale, in order to be properly woke, or maybe just to keep your job. And everyone must go along with changing the facilities, and then you'd have to watch your pronouns, as in the nightmare which we are living now. Well, it came from the school. We've seen the role of higher education, I put that in quotation marks, in promoting leftism, liberalism, and communism for a long time. Let's follow it back, though, all the way to the venerable old University of Oxford in the High Middle Ages. The movement was called that of the schoolmen, or the scholastics. St. Thomas Aquinas wanted to use reason in order to assist our understanding of the faith, explaining and expounding it based on reality, the use of philosophy. St. Thomas Aquinas mined the great Greek philosopher of old, Aristotle, and he did this perfectly, in a magisterial way, his magnificent summary of theology, the Summa Theologica, explaining, for example, how our Lord is present in the Blessed Sacrament, the miracle we call transubstantiation, substance and accidents, and that sort of thing. Well and good, but then, he was a Dominican, of course, now comes a Franciscan, and already there's a little competition, and this man's name is William of Ockham, and he's wise in his own conceits. Too smart for his own good. Ever know anybody like that? He had to fiddle with things in order to impress people. Sometimes they do that, you know, intellectuals. They have to let you know how smart they are, minding high things and not consenting to the humble, giving themselves airs of wisdom. That's how it all started so long ago, and it culminates in Thierry Desjardins and evolutionism and pantheism, and all of these serve in term as a vehicle for the communist revolution. The intellect can lead us into pride, you see, and away from common sense. If your senses are working well, they are infallible conduits of the truth of reality into your mind. But what happens is we end up with the naked emperor so often. After all, the question of intelligence and of education and of adulation, popularity, style. This kind of scientific progress can end up being man's punishment instead of his collective glory. Modern science, having put God on the side, often produces the means of our destruction, death, and of course, disease and despair. Instead of relief for anybody, look at the all-powerful Fauci and his master, Bill Gates, who desperately wants to reduce the population of the world, and he's been successful one time already in Africa with the jab. In fact, one of the new vaccines, the name tells it all, Moderna it is called, vaccine in which all of these bigwigs are very heavily invested, is not a vaccine at all. It actually is a chemotherapy, and this company started by producing drugs for chemotherapy, and chemotherapy works by what? By making you sick. And its ultimate effects, nobody knows, hasn't been around long enough. By making you sick with a series of injections, and that's the reason why they don't actually claim it's going to make you healthy, nor do they claim that you wouldn't be able to spread your mysterious COVID to somebody else, no. You're meant to trust them, but it's just a name they've taken and used for their own purposes. But back to the Franciscan, William of Ockham. His system is called the system of the name, or nominalism. As with vaccines, he holds, you can't know the nature of things. You can only give them names and vaguely sort of categorize them. It's just concepts. There's no real objective knowledge, no strict or binding definition of what it is to be even possessed of a human nature. And that's how you end up today with abortion at the last moment of birth, and transhumanism, the birth of the new humanity, which is the great goal of this reset. And that's how you end up with male and female and transgender. Finally, everything is subjective. It's changeable according to personalities and circumstances. There are no fixed definitions anymore. I feel is the ultimate trump card, if you forgive me for using the word. So wise was this particular friar, in his own conceits, that he knew better than the Pope on the question of poverty. The Franciscans had actually started a heresy and great division and a schism in the church on that subject. And he was one of those who knew better about that too. He became a classic R&R, as Father Cicada famously named them all, recognize and resist man. And when the Pope summoned him to his court to be chastised, he fled to the emperor and offered him his services, building a case for absolute government tyranny, which would rejoice Biden, should he be able to remember it. For William of Ockham, there were no definitions, no principles. So what's not to like for a politician? Indeed, for a pope of the new religion. They know better after all of these centuries. They know best. What about for the Christian, though? We'll stick with St. Paul and good common Christian sense, lest you fall for the emperor's new fashion line, which our rulers would impose. You know, the first sentence of today's epistle is actually the completion of the sentence of the end of last Sunday's epistle. The church wants us really to stay in that thought over a couple of weeks, and the sense of it, Romans 12, is instead of following conceited thoughts, don't give yourselves airs of wisdom. Be not wise in your own conceits. And that's how you will be not overcome by evil, but you will overcome evil by good. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.